Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos, and you are listening to the Mile High Show. This is episode number 88, and I got a chance this week to sit down with a very funny guy, Mr. Ryan Stalder. He is a stand-up comedian based out of the Los Angeles, California area, but made his home in the Phoenix area for a while, now back in L.A. We sat down and talked a week or so ago at the DeSoto Marketplace in Phoenix, which I have been informed is a very friendly home to the comedy scene in Phoenix. It's a combination of coffee shop, bars, a couple of restaurants in a wide open warehouse district. It's a beautiful spot. I had never been there before, and Ryan suggested it, and I will definitely be back. While I was sitting there setting up, I noticed that it is the home to several in the comedy scene in Phoenix. I saw a few folks wandering around that I have seen on stage, including some folks that I saw at the Bird City Comedy Festival a few weeks back. So I will no doubt be back to DeSoto Central Market at some point soon, hopefully to interview a few more of our local funny folk. Check out DeSoto Central Market at DeSotoCentralMarket.com for a description of their facility and what you can expect down there. It's a great little spot on Central in Phoenix. So check them out. Again, they are the folks at DeSoto Central Market are friends to and supporters of local artists and local entertainers and comedians in Phoenix. So please show your support for the arts by supporting those that support them, like the DeSoto Central Market. Now, Ryan is one of the, he's the organizer, the front man behind the Big Pine Comedy Festival that takes place in Flagstaff. Last year was the inaugural season, and he is gearing up for year two of the Big Pine Comedy Festival. Info on Big Pine is available online at bigpinecomedyfestival.com. That is taking place again in Flagstaff, the 22nd through 24th of September. So September 22, 23, and 24, 2016. The flagship location, the headquarters, if you would, of Big Pine, will be the Hotel Weatherford, a beautiful, beautiful hotel and bar, restaurant, club. They'll be doing all kinds of stuff there, including, again, the folks at the Weatherford are big supporters of the Big Pine, so show them your love by supporting them. Ryan, very funny guy. I've gotten to see him perform several times over the last year or so when I first met him at Brick and Bones in Prescott, where he was part of the Bobby Johnson comedy troupes coming through. RyanStalder.com is where you can find out info about him and more information on Big Pine as well. Now, that's Ryan Stalder, S-T-A-L-D-E-R. I butcher that and call him Stadler a few times, I think. I don't know. It's just I'm an idiot. So check out RyanStalder.com and, of course, BigPineComedyFestival.com as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible, where you can get a free audio download and a free 30-day subscription by using the Audible link at milehighshow.com. When you get there, check out their over 180,000 downloads, different audio content, including radio and TV, periodicals, magazines, comedy, and of course, their thousands upon thousands of audio books. How about this one, for instance, since we're talking comedy today? Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life. That is one that I definitely want to get. That is by Steve Martin, narrated by Steve Martin. So check out Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life as your free audio download at Audible by using the code at checkout, MILEHIGH. You can get there from themilehighshow.com. You click the Audible link and use the code MILEHIGH at checkout. And you can listen to Steve Martin talk about his life on stage, Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life by Steve Martin from audible.com by using that code MileHigh at checkout. Absolutely free. Now, one other thing on comedy. This past weekend, I got a chance to see in person and meet and talk with Wayne Fetterman, who is a stand-up for decades based out of the L.A. area and no stranger to dozens and dozens of films, television shows, Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's a regular on there. Just credits galore. Now, he was the subject of one of last week's shows, and it was a show that we recorded via phone, Wayne and I. So I'd never met him until this past Saturday when he performed with the Mile High Comedy Theater at the Elks Opera House in Prescott. But I got a chance to talk with him in person for a few minutes, and I just have to say, one of the absolute nicest guys in the world, Mr. Wayne Fetterman. So thank you, Wayne, if you happen to hear this, or Cynthia Kit Sobo of the Mile High Comedy Theater for setting up that interview. That was a lot of fun. That show, as well as our entire archives, are available at milehighshow.com under the past episodes tab. So check out those. Again, thank you, Wayne, for carving out some time on the phone and in person to talk with me and take a picture or two with me. It was a lot of fun. So, and check out Wayne's, he has an anthology, I guess. It's 30 years worth of stand-up on a 3-CD set that you can get through Amazon. And guess what? Amazon also has a link right there at milehighshow.com where it doesn't cost you any extra to use. You click that Amazon link, it takes you right to your standard Amazon or Amazon Prime login page. Doesn't cost you an extra dime, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us at the Mile High Show, and they give us a little thank you. Helps us keep plugging away here. So check out The Chronicles of Fetterman, a three-disc compilation of 30 years on the stage by comedian Wayne Fetterman. And let's get on with this show with Ryan Stalder. This is a really good example, today's episode, of just what a horrible interviewer I am. I had, if you listen to this show at all, you know I kind of bounce all over the place, not just in these intros, but also during the episodes. I go on different tangents and stuff. And Ryan and I talked about a lot of different things, highlighting, of course, the Big Pine Comedy Festival this September. But we went all over the place, and that's on me. I just enjoy having those kind of conversations. But I was kicking myself when we were done. I really wanted to find out more about his days living in a van and other little nuggets that he dropped in, and we just kind of not glossed over, but it was just we were all over the place. So I'm hoping to maybe sit down with Ryan again one day and just pull one of his stories and hammer it down a little bit more and spend maybe a full episode just on one of his stories instead of my ADHD brain bouncing all over the place. But thank you, Ryan, for sitting down. I hope you guys as listeners enjoy my conversation with Ryan Stalder, founder and organizer of the Big Pine Comedy Festival. Information at bigpinecomedyfestival.com. So sit back, enjoy my talk with Ryan Stalder.
So, in other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm really unprofessional.
Yeah. And
so, Ryan, we'll just start off.
Cool.
The big thing we're here to talk about is the big show.
Yeah.
Year two of the Big Pine. Give me just where folks can hear about it, where they can get info, web, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, we've got all the usual stuff. We've got our website, www.bigpinecomedyfestival.com. We've got our Facebook page, which is Big Pine Comedy Festival. We've got Twitter, which is at Big Pine Comedy. And I think there's an Instagram. Genevieve takes care of that.
Yeah.
I don't Instagram a lot ever. Well, actually, I never have, not one time. And yeah, so those are the main places to catch us. The website's probably the best. It's got all,
and it's got the links right on there to get you where you need to go.
The website has all the links to all the social media.
Year two,
yeah.
The dates that you want people to remember: September.
Yeah, so Big Pine Comedy Festival is happening September 22nd through the 24th in Flagstaff. and we've got about 18 shows slated. We've got venues like Green Room, Fire Creek Coffee Company, the Weatherford Hotel, Nomads Global Lounge, and we'll probably be adding one or two more.
Yeah, as you get your submissions in, submissions are coming out. You're starting to solicit them when, or have you already?
Right now, we've actually opened submissions, and early bird submissions are open until May 15th. And the submission fee for stand-up comedians is $25, and it's $30 for sketch and improv groups.
Nice.
So we're going to have a lot of different things at the festival. Stand-up comedy, sketch, improv. We're going to be doing podcasts, workshops, and we've got some really great national headliners coming through, like Paul Verzi, Eric Myers, and Matt Donaher.
Nice.
And we're going to be adding a few more to that as well.
Now, this is year two. Your baby from inaugural year, I know when I first met you up in Prescott, you were up there for a Bobby Johnson show,
right.
I think. It was just before the first one. What kind of planning went into getting it going for that inaugural show? When did you start? How far in advance?
Well, I started about 5 months in advance, and that was actually not enough time to create it from scratch. So this year, I think, is going to be... It's already a lot easier just because, you know, a lot of the pieces are already in place. We already have a website. We already have, you know, a lot of things that you need to run a festival like that. We've already got really good relationships with the venues, so it's a lot easier to book them this year. So yeah, it's
coming
along.
And the comics who participate, I know a lot of them that I've gotten to know from coming down here, and the ones that go up into Prescott area, some of the ones that participated last year are, I'm sure, are gearing up, getting their sets ready, and
yeah. And there's a lot of new comics also. Yeah. You know, the one thing about the Phoenix comedy scene is there's always people getting into comedy here. It's, you know, it's a good place to start. So there's a lot of new people coming in as well.
Now, talk about that a little bit. Where? How long have you been in this area? How long have you been in the Phoenix area?
A year and a half.
And for coming from where?
Los Angeles.
So
I actually just moved back to L.A.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So how often do you get back and forth?
Well...
Is that where you were selling your couch for?
Yeah.
The other day?
Yeah.
Getting rid of some furniture. So this is a fresh move then.
Yeah. So I've been gone for a week, and now I'm back this weekend at Laugh Factory, opening for Raj Sharma there. And so I moved back to L.A.
What was home? You a Southern Cal native? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Born and raised in L.A. So I really just wanted to leave for a little while and kind of, you know, just kind of work on comedy and develop a little bit somewhere smaller and where I could get more stage time and, you know, have a lot of the opportunities that I think are important when you're learning how to be a comedian.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been doing it?
2.5 years.
Yeah? And what were you doing before that? What was young Ryan like? Where growing up in Southern Cal?
That's a good question.
Any brothers and sisters or?
Yeah, I have a little brother, and I went to school in Flagstaff. I went to NAU.
Yeah.
Then I graduated, and then I played online poker for a long time. And.
What did you major in? What was NAU?
Political science.
So poker's a good fit for that?
Yeah.
Bluffing? And
either that or waiting tables, is what I always say, when you major in political science. Those are kind of your options. So, and then I traveled for a while, and I started in buying old homes and fixing them up.
You're like a real professional, man.
Yeah.
You're a grown-up.
I don't know how. Actually, my mom talked me into it. This is, you know, during the, I think about my first place like 5 years ago or so. And that's when the housing market really plummeted. And my mom was like, you should buy a house. I'd never even thought about buying a house.
Able to get actually on something that's not going to break the bank right off the bat.
Yeah. I was living in a van.
We got back up a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So you're at NAU. Let's talk before you got to NAU. What brought you out to Arizona from Southern Cal?
Oh, I got.
There's a lot of stories in there I want to hit, and I get off on really weird tangents. So
that's why
I try and focus myself a little bit.
Explaining my life is so painful is because there's just it doesn't make sense. It kind of goes in a lot of directions. But I dropped out of high school, and then I went to community college, and then I got a debate scholarship to go to NAU.
So oh,
nice. That's why I went to...
Did you pick up the debate in community college?
Yeah.
Which one? What school?
I went to El Camino Community College in Torrance, California.
Where's L.A.? Is L.A. Pierce? Does that ring a bell to you at all?
Yeah. I think that's more... I don't know where that is.
I went... I've got decades on you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Way back when, I went to a community college in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Where I was born and raised, Chabot College.
Oh, cool.
Or as we used to call it, Hesperian High, because it was on Hesperian Boulevard, and it was basically just everybody from high school that's who couldn't get into school went there. That's
yeah.
where I went. And we went on I was in a journalism program, and we came down to Fresno for this big competition with all the JCs in the state. And... for some reason, the group that I was with, the seven or eight of us, this is way back, probably before you were born. When were you? How old are you?
I was born in 81.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
This is 85. I went but we, for some reason, the group from Chabot hooked up with a group from L.A. Pierce. And it was a wild, wild weekend of breaking into the Fresno Zoo, getting kicked out of the zoo. The faculty advisor ended up in our room.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very friendly, friendly teacher. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. I think I see where you're going.
Yeah. It was quite an eye-opening experience for young Matt Santos way back when.
Oh, that's good. That's the importance
of
education.
Me. She was a factory advisor, and you know, she was a journalism advisor.
Yeah.
And she graded me, and I did not do well on my grading curve that weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so debate, did that prepare you? Was that kind of what gave you the thinking about getting on stage?
Yeah,
or were
I,
you
guess,
a-
I guess it's always something that I wanted to do. I actually thought about I didn't go on stage for the first time till after college. But I always thought, even when I was in college, that I wanted to do comedy. And I was actually going to put a show together in the big auditorium and, like, sell tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought I would just do, like, an hour. And I'd never done comedy.
You're going to take the stage for the first time
right.
with your hour special?
Yeah, like, you know, promote it for months and sell a bunch of tickets and get a bunch of people there and then just do an hour. And I really wish I would have done that just so I could have tasted how epic that failure would have been. So like I said, it had always been on my mind.
Yeah. Comedy fan growing up? Or,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a big fan of Chris Rock.
Yeah.
You know, because especially like late 90s, early 2000s, I mean, I don't think there's a... That's probably the best comedian that's ever lived, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I still watch Bigger and Blacker. And...
Yeah.
It's just it's really incredible how good someone could be.
Yeah, and he came right at the ebbs and flows of the comedy scene. I got a chance to witness the 80s boom.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, which was, you know, a lot of great comedians and a lot of really bad ones.
Yeah,
because every coffee shop, every restaurant had a comedy night.
Yeah,
and it got a little diluted. And then when Rock was coming up and others like him, it was at a time when it was kind of recovering from, you know, that cyclical. Every 10 years or so, we see a really good batch of good, strong comedians come through.
Yeah, he was one of those comics kind of in that era. You know, it seems like there's a comic that kind of every 10 or 20 years just really kind of captures the moment in that history,
yeah.
You know, like that era, and kind of speaks for that generation and kind of sums up how people feel and what they're thinking. And that was definitely Chris Rock. I've never, you know, like I said, I still watch it.
Yeah.
I still watch
him,
and it's hilarious.
Who's the up-and-comers now? Who do you think? Or do you think the Chris Rocks and his generation, his class, are still kind of speaking to that?
Yeah, I don't know. This is a weird time.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of comics that I think are good. But I don't, you know what? You know what it is, too? Is I don't really... I don't follow comedy as much anymore. Like, I just don't watch as much comedy. I don't want to. You know, I'm working, I doing my own
when
stuff.
When you're creating yours,
it kind of pollutes your mind.
Yeah.
You know, if you're thinking along the same lines as somebody and then you see them do, you know, a bit about something that you're thinking about, it makes it really tough for you to you can't unhear that.
Yeah.
And so it influences you. And so, yeah, I just don't watch as much comedy.
Way to keep it fresh and keep it
because, you know, that way if I do something that someone else is doing, at least I haven't been influenced by it.
Gotcha.
You know, it's my own take or whatever. So, like, I was watching Louis C.K. the other day, and he does this whole bit. I guess we're going to try to keep it clean. but on the word faggot.
Yeah.
And I've kind of been doing something similar. I'd done a couple sets around town, and it just bummed me out when I saw his, because it's the same. It's kind of it's basically the same take, and it's a lot better than mine, obviously. but now I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I just try to not
watch.
The
first thing people pop up is you're doing Louis.
Right.
Kind of
Yeah. And so. And that's, I guess that's inevitable, because there's only so much material in the world, and things that are popular are things that comics are going to want to make fun of and talk about.
Yeah.
So there is going to be overlap, and people are going to be kind of drinking from the same well. But if I do, I don't want anybody to say, oh, you're just being like, you're just taking that line. So
that's an interesting dilemma that comics. That you performers have to deal with, because in any other art form, that's not a bad thing.
Right. I say the same thing. Like, musicians cover each other's songs all the time. You know, movie directors, that one director reshot Alfred Hitchcock's movie Psycho.
Yeah.
Frame for frame.
Yeah.
You know, it's
an homage.
It's
a tribute to, or, you know, Clapton playing somebody else's riffs is, you know, there's no black mark against that, yet for a comic, it's completely different. And you can't go in and do your greatest hits as a performer.
Yeah.
You know,
when you do a funny joke, you know, if you're a musician and you write a great song, you will play that song for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And, which is, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, because at least you always have a paycheck.
Yeah.
But if, as a comic, you know, if you have a great bit, it's very rare that people would ever want to hear it again. They're always like, well, what's next?
Yeah.
That was funny. What's next? So, yeah, it's different.
You got guys like Louis who do, isn't he? He like does like a new hour every year, pretty much.
Yeah.
And completely separate from what he had done before. You got. Some folks, like, I got a chance to see one of the podcasts I really like listening to, and a comedian I like a lot is Jay Moore at Stand Up Live a few months back. And he kind of, because he does impersonations sometimes, and, you know, he can't get off the stage without doing walking, without doing Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
But he's not doing the exact same bit.
Right.
And comics can't do a greatest hits. Like, you know, if you go see the Stones and they don't do, you know...
Yeah, people, I mean, I know when I go to a show, I'd been a Bill Maher fan for a long time, and a few years back, I went to the Celebrity Theater and saw him there, and he was doing a lot of old material, and I felt ripped off, you know?
The old, like, material already, that you love,
yeah,
that
but,
made you a fan.
Right. And I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the nature of comedy. It's, you know, people, myself included, are just like, well... Now, what's next?
Yeah.
Tell me something new.
But that's odd. I mean, you know, it's great because it keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
But it's odd in the fact that no other art form is really like that. Of course, people want to stay fresh.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're, you know, a painter or a writer, you can't keep writing the same book over and over again, but it's still that style.
Yeah.
Musicians, like you said, will play the newest hits off of their newest release, but their encores are always the classics.
Yeah.
You know, if they have that library.
You know, I think it's part of it too is because comedy is very topical. Yeah. And, you know, you see it sometimes, like there's comics in Vegas that are, you know, still making MC Hammer jokes.
Yeah.
And stuff. And, you know, comedies can be a very topical art form. So, you know, you have to be talking about kind of what's important.
Held
a lot
up
of times
to such a higher standard, yeah. Though, as an artist, it's interesting.
So yeah,
all right, let's back.
But I don't know anything. Like honestly, I don't know anything. I really don't. That's the one thing I've learned is that I don't know anything. I don't. I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah.
Well, you do it well. You do
it
well.
Thank you.
That was fun getting to see a lot of the folks that I've seen either little clips, YouTube, or I follow them on Twitter and Facebook, some of the Phoenix area comedians a few weeks ago at Bird City, to see them perform. And it was great just to see all the talent that's here in the Phoenix area. And some that obviously there was a lot that traveled out from the other areas of the states and some from back east. But
Phoenix is interesting because
the pool here is incredible,
and it's cool to watch people get better.
Yeah,
you know, I moved here a year and a half ago, and in that time, you know, because it's a smaller market where you know people are newer comedians, you get to watch people really grow and become really good, and it's a cool thing to see.
Now, you mentioned getting stage time. Obviously, it's tougher in L.A.? Is it because of the...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're almost like showcasings. Like, you look at the lineup on any given weekend night at the Comedy Store, and it's 12 folks doing, what do they do, 15?
Yeah.
And it's the biggest names in comedy up there.
Right.
On any given weekend.
Yeah, that's.
How do you find a spot? How do you?
Oh, you don't.
You come to Phoenix.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Actually, I think the reason I moved to Phoenix, I went to the Hollywood Improv for their open mic. They have their open mic every week and it is a terrible open mic. It's at 5 or 6 o'clock, and which is the worst time in Los Angeles. And people have just spent 2 hours driving 4 miles, and they're angry, bitter people. and it's a lottery, and you only get 3 minutes. And so it's kind of a soul-crushing experience. Yeah. And there's so many people that go to it that not everyone gets to go on, you know, the lot... Even only doing 3 minutes, so I didn't get picked for the lottery like 3 weeks in a row. Weeks in a row, I went all the way to Hollywood Improv, and that was kind of it for me. I was like, I'm gonna leave. I'll never get better if I can't even get 3 minute sets.
Yeah.
You know. So not that there's not stage time in LA, but you know, it's tough to get the good stage time, and there's a lot of that in Phoenix. You know, a lot of the shows have actual crowds and stuff, and you know, it's, and you get to do a lot of time, and it's a good place.
I was impressed with how many different shows there are out here at different venues.
Yeah.
And not just like the bar shows and the restaurant shows, but I didn't realize there was that many straight comedy clubs out here. Stand Up Live, Scottsdale, the Comedy Spot, where you're at tonight with
Laugh Factory. Yeah, no, there's. I can't believe how many comedy clubs are out here. Yeah, and you know, they're all pretty good about, you know, They use a lot of local comedians, and there's a lot of opportunities for local comics.
For the big names coming through.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good place.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
So
let's go. Let's drop back then. NAU.
Yeah.
You graduate. Where did the van and the poker come into the mix?
So, after NAU, I moved back to LA, and I'd always been playing poker, and this was kind of at the height of the online poker boom.
Yeah.
And so I moved into online poker, and that's all I did for a couple of years, you know, all day, every day, all night. That's all I did was just play online poker.
Now, if you were able to keep playing
mm-hmm.
for how long? Length of, you know, kind of month span or
well, how long did... eventually the government shut down the online poker sites, so that wasn't good.
But did you, I mean, obviously you had some skill if you were able to do it for any length of time.
Yeah,
I've played. How good were you?
Millions of fans. I was in the like top fraction of a percent of online players, so. That was good.
Why online as opposed to
because
going to Vegas, going to the casinos?
You don't have to put pants on. And you could just watch movies and sit on the couch. And, yeah, it's so much better than having to go places. And my big tournament win, Sundays are the big day in online poker. Yeah. That's when all the biggest tournaments happen, and I won a Sunday major, which is really good. It's the 750K on Full Tilt, and so
nice.
And first place I got 113,000 for that.
So this is what you were doing to make a living.
Yeah,
this is what you're surviving on.
Yeah,
hypothetically, in case the IRS is listening, all pretty monitored?
Well, no, that's why they shut it down. Because online poker was really this kind of backwater. You know, all the servers are offshore in these obscure places. I'd get checks from banks all over the world. So if you go to a regular casino and you win some money over a certain amount, they tell the government that you won this amount of money. So when you do your taxes,
it's
the government...
instant, basically.
The government knows that you won that money, and they expect you to pay the proper taxes on it and stuff. But online poker sites don't do that. So the government didn't know who was winning money and everything else.
They couldn't get their piece of the
pie. Right, so they couldn't get it, so they shut it down. Fascists. You know? So that's the gist of it.
So is that what ended your career on online poker?
Yeah, it ended a lot of people's careers.
Or was it a big loss that landed you in the van?
Oh, no, I bought the van after I'd made the most money. And I was actually... I bought the van in Montana, and I was driving it. I wanted to go live in the Florida Keys for a little bit and just play poker there. And I got to the panhandle of Florida, and then my grandpa died. So I turned the van around and drove back to L.A. And
your grandpa's in Southern California?
Yeah, he was in Southern California. So, but yeah, other than that, I was on my way to just hang out in Florida for a bit and keep...
Why Florida? What was the draw?
Oh, I don't know. I just never been there.
Never been?
Yeah, so I was like, well, let's go. And
Key West?
Yeah.
Put on some flip-flops and a...
Right. I had it all planned out. I was going to take Spanish classes and boat engine repair. And play online poker.
You were going to put the poli sci.
Oh no, that ship had
degree
sailed.
To get. Yeah. What was your goal in doing that?
I wanted to work, in government.
Why?
I don't know. It's just kind of what I was drawn to. And
in what aspect? What were you looking at?
Any type of like policy making, anything international, it really appealed to me.
So running for town council wasn't in the sights. It was, you had bigger...
Yeah, I'd rather work for the State Department or something like that. The job, well, I want to say it was the job market was tough when I was leaving college, which it was, but also I had really bad grades and never interned anywhere. So, and I was applying for jobs that were so out, so far beyond what I was qualified for, that it was easy to not find a job for me. Yeah. So, but I think it worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, when the government shut down the online poker sites, it really crushed a lot of people.
So why not just keep playing, but in person with pants on?
Well, I do sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just don't enjoy it as much.
Gotcha.
You know, you can sometimes you do something so much that you, I don't know, you just get tired of it.
Yeah.
And honestly, by the time the government had shut down the online poker sites, I was kind of burned out on
you
playing.
You were to that point already.
Yeah, I mean, I played so much. I mean, probably easily over a million hands. Maybe one to 2 million hands, something like that. I don't even know how many hands I played. But I was kind of over it.
I'm way too cheap for gambling. I can't. I mean, years ago, I don't gamble at all anymore. But years ago, my buddies, long before marriage, we would hit from the Bay Area. It was a few hours up to Reno, Tahoe.
Yeah.
And we used to play little, home games, nickel dime, $20 max type things, just to do something, an excuse to drink type of thing. And every few months, we'd go up to Reno, and I had some buddies that would play blackjack and other guys that would hit the craps tables, and they would they'd do pretty good. And I'd I'd sit there and play blackjack, and if I could win 30, 40, 100 bucks, and if I lost $5, I was miserable.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm miserable.
I don't have that mentality. I'm too cheap.
Yeah. I mean, I'm miserable when I lose, but I like I forget who said it. They said the only thing better than gambling and winning is gambling and losing. it's just fun.
Just and, the rush.
Yeah, and I like the more I can play for, the better. You know, it's just you get to kind of when you're really starting to move up in the higher stakes and stuff, play for a lot more money. You kind of get to see what you're all about and what you. I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like you get to see what your best looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't really, unless you're playing for a lot of money, you don't really ever know that, I think.
Yeah.
It's like if you were playing baseball with 8-year-olds, you would never know how good of a baseball player you are. But if you played in the major leagues for a game, then you would get to see how good you are. In
or
relation,
how bad you
are. Yeah, in relation to the very best. So, it's just I don't know. I'm just kind of sick too.
other folks, I'm sure, turn to use extreme sports for that same feeling, and some of us used a lot of coke in the '80s. That's where we got our adrenaline.
And not it hasn't been all glamorous. I've had to, I've lost all my money many times.
What was the biggest loss at any one time?
Just in one session, probably around 10,000.
I couldn't recover from something like that.
Yeah, well,
if I had it in the even if that was like, and it would never be, but even if that was like my expendable income, that would kill me.
Yeah, well, I didn't. It wasn't expendable. Trust me. Yeah, but I mean, even 10,000 is not that much compared to what some people lose. But when it's still still a lot of money, and if that's all you have, that's definitely a lot of money. Yeah, no, I've lost. I don't know. I've been so broke. It's unbelievable. like not even. I'd have to think a little bit. I know I've walked home. 15 miles before because I couldn't, I couldn't take a cab from the casino or something. I don't know. It's been ugly sometimes.
Yeah.
But overall, it's been really good. I mean, overall, I'm way up. So that's just kind of how it goes.
Think that might be some of the rush, the adrenaline you get when you're on a mic in front of a crowd.
Yeah, probably. I noticed too is like. I do worse. I do my best when I'm really afraid of failing.
Yeah.
And when it's like a big crowd or a tough crowd, that's usually when I really shine the brightest, I guess.
Yeah.
If it's too easy, I kind of suck.
Want that little struggle, a little bit, the challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
but like I said, I don't know what I'm doing.
Let's go back to Big Pine. Obviously, you know something what you're doing. You were able to get the festival up and running for the inaugural run last year. You're coming back for year two. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Genevieve Rice that helps you out on there. Is there a lot of crossover between Big Pine and Bird City as far as support staff and organizers?
Well, we started... let's see. So when I started Big Pine, Genevieve was a huge help. You know, she did so much because, you know, she'd always thought about doing a festival herself. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a good opportunity for her to, you know, learn about creating a festival so she could do Bird City. And so, yeah, she helped me a lot with the first Big Pine. And I did not help her nearly as much as she helped me. Yeah, because she's just, she's very smart and self-sufficient and capable, unlike me. So, I still call her up when I can't figure out something on the website.
Yeah.
I'm like, Genevieve, fix it. Help. I try to help her as much as I could with Bird City, but... She, you know, she's amazing. You know, she just gets everything done. She's a very efficient person.
Yeah,
yeah.
I had a lot of fun down here for the Bird City. Just seeing, because I'm a fan, comedy fan, have been for years. But I've got this big block of disconnect with pop culture and TV shows and everything, because my work for a couple of decades was really involved, and I didn't get out a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole kind of a comedy movement that I lost track of, and it was fun being able to witness firsthand the different aspects of comedy, because a lot of people, when they think of comedy, are either thinking of, you know, sitcoms, comedic movies, improv, and stand-up. Mm-hmm. But there's just so many different layers to comedy, and to be able to see that firsthand, like we did it at Bird City and up close in some of the smaller venues. Matt Storrs, I got a chance to sit in at
the Storrs Objection?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That's a really fun show.
That was and then one of the late night, everything's kind of blurry from that weekend because I'd taken my wife and son. I got a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. My wife and son with me that weekend. Mm-hmm. So I was going to the shows at night. And then by the time editing pictures and stuff and getting some stuff posted, I was wrapping up at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And then getting up at 8 to try and do some family stuff around the pool and go to the arcade and stuff. So that whole weekend's a little blurry in my mind. But there was there was a late night show at the Center for the Arts. They recorded a podcast for it. I think, I can't remember. Anyway, it's all blurry. But just the different aspects of how to present stand up in different forms and how to work it into different
there's
formats.
A, you know, that's kind of the what's happening in comedy is there's a million different ways, there's a million platforms.
Yeah.
And to be funny on and different ways to be funny and all these cool theme shows and all kinds of stuff.
A lot of good storyteller stuff that was a lot of fun to watch. Now, this spot here, I didn't mention where we are. I'll do it when I do like an intro and outro separate. DeSoto, what is it called? DeSoto Marketplace?
Yeah.
Is this kind of a hangout for the comedy scene in Phoenix? I know it's this, behind the bar. Anwar was here.
Yeah, this is actually where we do the meetings for the Big Pine Comedy Festival.
Nice.
So they got the little conference room up there, and they're really nice. They let us come use it, and we did all of our meetings for last year, and we got a meeting tomorrow here.
Nice.
So it's just a cool place.
Now, I gotta confess, because I don't get down here to Phoenix too often. When I do, it's usually for jobs, to In and Out type thing, like I got tonight. But when you said, before I Googled where it was and saw some pictures, you said the DeSoto Marketplace, in the back of my head, I was kind of thinking a picnic table outside of a food city.
Yeah.
On Indian School.
Yeah.
Or something.
But not quite.
A beautiful spot.
Yeah.
A beautiful spot here. So, again, plug away, where Bird City, and also yours, your own Ryan websites and Facebook and all that.
Oh.
Did I say Bird City again? Big Pine.
Yeah.
I keep flip-flopping those names. Big Pine Comedy Festival. Where do folks reach out for that?
They can go to bigpinecomedyfestival.com, and that's really the best place to go. It's got all the information that you need. It's got, if you want to submit to the festival to be a performer, you can go there. We're going to sell our festival passes on there. We're going to have our schedule there. Tickets are going to be sold on there. Everything that you need is on that website.
And then for your own?
Oh, mine's ryanstalder.com. And
links to your Facebook on there.
Yeah.
Are you personally on your, for your own, you much into on Twitter or anything?
No,
you
I try to.
You don't do Instagram.
I have. I don't do so well on social media. it usually doesn't work out for me. So I try not to use now. Nowadays,
what do you mean it doesn't work out?
It's a whole different story.
No, go ahead.
No, I.
All right, I'll pull up your account and read it later.
Yeah, I get in too much trouble on social media. So lately I just try to put, you know, generic dates and times for shows that I'm doing.
Gotcha.
And just kind of use it for promotional purposes, because trying to talk to people and I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I noticed on...
That's like a 10-hour conversation.
Yeah. One thing I noticed, sarcasm and subtlety doesn't come across too well in 140
yeah.
characters. I've said some stuff on Twitter that I thought were lighthearted, and people take them as being a little... It just doesn't... Sarcasm doesn't come across
yeah.
too well.
You know, some people their sense of humor really translates well to that format. Like, I was on Dimitri Martin's Twitter. I never tweet unless it's for the
yeah.
comedy festival. I don't care about Twitter. But I did look at his Twitter, and his jokes really
yeah.
are just, God, they're so hilarious. And they fit that format incredibly well. And, you know, some people, yeah, they just, that's a good platform for
yeah.
them. For me, not so much.
And that's a real skill to get something that concise in that short of, you know, whatever it is, 140
yeah.
some odd characters. Is it, how does that compare to like you were saying, originally you were thinking you're going to take the stage and do an hour
yeah.
for the first go. How tough is it in doing a tight three, tight five, as opposed to a longer
yeah, for
form?
Somebody who rants a lot like I do, so the Twitter format doesn't lend itself to these long, meandering rants about whatever it is. Actually, in these days, now that I've been doing comedy for a little while, it's actually tougher for me to do a 5-minute set than a 15-minute set.
Yeah.
Because it just is.
Yeah.
You know, to condense it all down and to... It depends on how you work, you know? Like, I'm doing less jokes and more bits, you
yeah.
know, longer pieces, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, it's tougher to get the rhythm and flow in such a short amount of
yeah.
time, like to condense it down like that. So I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I really don't know what I'm doing. I get up there and hope for the best.
Now this we're going to put this up mid-week, I believe, either late this coming week or early the following.
Okay.
So where can folks catch you say in the second week and going forward in May? Where are you getting stage time now?
Well, I'll be doing the Gundo Comedy Festival in El Segundo,
yeah.
California, and that starts on May 18 and goes all weekend. And
how long has that been going on?
That's in its second year as well.
Because I remember you had I think when I saw you, when I first met you, you had just come off of that last year, right?
Dave Williamson is a creator of that, and he's got a lot of really good comics lined up for that, and a lot of really interesting venues.
Yeah,
I did a show in a gym last year, and I did a show at the teen center.
Now, when you say a gym, what, like a high school gym or like a Nautilus?
Like a
Anytime Fitness?
Yeah. it was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And it kind of got me thinking, one of the shows that I want to do in Flagstaff is at the rock climbing gym.
Yeah.
So I kind of like weird places like that. Yeah. So, that's going to be a lot of fun. And so that's my big show in May. I also do Dave and I do a monthly show in El Segundo.
Dave
Williamson.
For the El Segundo, Gundo organizer. Yeah, okay.
Right. And, me, Dave Williamson, and Audra Burris produce a monthly show, which actually a lot of the Phoenix comedians have been on, when they come out to L.A. And I just had Andy Steinberg on and Kirsten Alberts. Well, she moved to L.A.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Matt Storrs has done it. I don't know. It's a long list.
And what's the basis of that show? It's a monthly?
Monthly showcase at a tiki bar lounge.
Nice. Same place you use it? Same place? What is it? Where is it?
That's in El Segundo. It's called the Purple Orchid. And, we do it the first Wednesday of each month.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Right there on your website?
Yes. It will be on the website.
I got a chance to see Andy a couple weeks back. He opened for Ari Shaffir at the Tempe Improv. That was a great show. I hadn't seen him perform. He's real good on Twitter.
Oh, Andy?
Yeah, he's pretty good on there.
Andy's just a good, he's a great comedian.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten a chance to see him perform live until that night, and it was a great, great show.
Yeah, he's just solid.
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing it a long time, and it shows. You know, he just, he's very good.
What were some of the bugs, some of the things that you are tweaking this year for Big Pine that you learned from year one? Anything major stick out?
Yeah, we're going to take 40 comedians instead of 48, because there wasn't, stage time was a problem last year.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be more stage time for Arizona comics. We're also providing free accommodations for all the comedians that get accepted.
Nice.
So we have the whole Hotel Weatherford rented out, and they've been really good to us. And so we got the whole hotel. That's really the big change, is getting more stage time for the comics and providing accommodations.
How's the location as far as the different venues? Are they all pretty tight right there downtown?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that people really liked about the festival last year, was that, everything was within a couple blocks.
Nice.
You know, you didn't have to drive all weekend. You could just walk around everything. You know, some of the venues are right next door to each other.
Neat.
It worked out really good.
For the Bird City down here, it was a neat introduction to just the different venues. I don't get out except for work, really. That's one excuse I'm using this podcast for, is to actually get out and enjoy stuff and kind of learn about different music venues, comedy venues, whatever, restaurants and that. And like that Space 55, that place was neat. I
love
that.
Yeah, that's a cool spot.
Yeah, there's just so much going on in Phoenix that a lot of folks aren't aware of, and then we're in a unique spot in the Prescott area. It's a couple hours drive, not bad, especially if you know you don't even have to do like an overnight. It's a day trip down. Flagstaff even closer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I try and do with this show, is to kind of introduce folks. Whiskey Row isn't the only thing you can do living up here.
Yeah,
there's other things you can get done. Anything you want to touch on before we wrap up? You get it?
No, I think
it's just kind of a rambling.
Yeah.
There's no structure to this show.
It's perfect timing, because I just finished all that water and I had to piss.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Well, we timed it perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, seriously, thank you, Matt, for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that was it. Thanks again to Ryan for sitting down with me at the
DeSoto Central Marketplace in Phoenix. Again, check out Ryan Stalder at ryanstalder.com. And info on the September 22nd through 24th, 2016 Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff. Again, September 22, 23, and 24 in Flagstaff at bigpinecomedyfestival.com. Don't forget to stop by milehighshow.com. Click those Amazon and Audible links and support the show. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.